It's November, the time of year when here in the UK we celebrate Guy Fawkes Night. And before you go rushing to Wikipedia to find out what that's all about, here's a quick history lesson. Would you believe it's when us Brits pay tribute to the failed assassination attempt over 400 years ago of King James I? You've got to love tradition. The plan was to blow up the Houses of Parliament by stuffing the cellars full of gunpowder, but the plotters, including Guy Fawkes, were found out. And still today, we like to celebrate by building bonfires, making effigies of Guy Fawkes out of old tights, and setting off a bunch of fireworks. So Sarah, are you a fan of Guy Fawkes Night?
Oh, massive fan. I love going to see the fireworks. I went to a great display this year. And it's almost more fun to turn away from the fireworks and look at everyone else looking up going, ooh, ah, it's great.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of fireworks. And I like the donuts as well they sell when you go to fireworks shows. Well, another festival of lights of this time of year is Diwali. So what better excuse do we have to catch up with some of the greatest firework makers of the ocean world? We're talking bioluminescence, the light produced by living things. Well, fire and water don't normally mix, but there are a huge number of organisms living in the oceans that produce their own light. Coming up, we'll be offering you our pick of the top five sparkling ocean species. But first, to get the lowdown on bioluminescence, I chatted with Edie Widder from the Ocean Research and Conservation Association in Florida.
In the open ocean environment, most of the animals make light. You drag a net out there and most of the animals you bring up are producing light, and in some cases it's 80 to 90% of the animals. And it's fish, shrimp, squid, jellyfish, and they use it to help them survive. They use it to help them find food, to attract mates, and to defend against predators in all kinds of amazing and bizarre ways. So for finding food, you have things like the luminescent lures or built-in flashlights to help them see in the dark. For finding mates, they can flash certain species-specific patterns or have light organs that are shaped in a unique fashion that allows one species to identify another. And then for defense, there's just a huge range of different ways of using bioluminescence. For example, quite a few animals can release their bioluminescent chemicals into the water just the way a squid or an octopus will release an ink cloud. These animals will release their light into the face of a predator, temporarily blinding the predator while they swim away into the darkness.
So there are all sorts of things that marine animals do to make homemade light. But how do they make it in the first place? Essentially, it comes down to a reaction between a substrate and an enzyme, generically referred to as luciferin and luciferase. But it's not as simple as that.
We think that bioluminescence has evolved at least 40 separate times, maybe as many as 50 separate times. It's a really unusual example of convergent evolution because they've very different chemistries in different animals. I mean, some animals use the same chemistries, and it's even cross species and cross phyla, but they're extremely different depending on different cofactors and different enzymes and different substrates. It's just very unusual in that respect. For most of these animals, they're making the chemicals that produce light out of the food that they eat, and it's usually some derivation of amino acids. And, you know, the enzymes are proteins. They hold these chemicals in, usually in cells in their bodies, and when they want to make light, there's some activator, usually a nerve action potential, that triggers the release of something like maybe calcium or hydrogen that's the missing element that then allows the light reaction to occur. Some animals get their light from bioluminescent bacteria, so they have a symbiotic relationship with the bacteria, but the fish sometimes needs to turn that light off. And so they'll often have mechanical shutters that can close down around the light. In some fish, the light organ actually rotates back into the head, just like the headlights on your Lamborghini.
Edie has spent a lot of time miles down beneath the waves studying the glowing creatures of the depths, and she told me about the first time she went down in a submersible. Up until this point, she'd only been conducting research on bioluminescent organisms in the lab.
I went down to 880 feet. It was an evening dive. I turned out the lights, and I was just blown away by the amount of light I saw. The bioluminescent light show, it was breathtakingly beautiful, but I also knew enough about it at this point to know how energetically costly it was for the animals to produce this light. And I thought, this has got to be one of the most important processes in the ocean. I couldn't understand why more people weren't studying it. And it completely changed the course of my career. So a lot of the reason I came to understand that it wasn't being studied more is there weren't tools available for studying it, because clearly you have to do a little bit more than go down and say, oh, wow, everything glows. And so I started working with engineers to develop instruments that could better quantify bioluminescence in the ocean. I also started doing more work from submersibles and eventually developed a technique that uses video image analysis to identify the animals by the type of flashes they produce, and it's turned out to be a very powerful tool for mapping the three-dimensional distribution patterns of animals in the ocean.
Even with advancing technologies for venturing into the depths in person, Edie began to think about what she was missing.
Of the hundreds of dives I've made into submersibles, I've always felt like, how much is there out there that I'm not seeing because we're scaring it away with our bright lights and noisy thrusters? And so I wanted to develop a camera that could be left quietly on the bottom of the ocean and was battery-powered. But unlike cameras that have been used in the past, I wanted it to be completely unobtrusive. So I used red light, sort of the way people studying nocturnal animals use infrared light on land. Trouble is you can't use infrared in the in the ocean because it's absorbed so quickly by the water. So used far red light and then a camera that was super sensitive to compensate for the fact that so much of that light is absorbed. And so now we've started to study the animals in their natural habitats. And I also developed an optical lure that imitates certain bioluminescent displays. And that's proved very valuable in sort of working out this language of light and what animals, what kind of displays different animals respond to.
As well as learning about fascinating lives of glittering deep-sea species, Edie and her team at the Ocean Research and Conservation Association have also started applying their bioluminescence research to help solve some of the problems facing the oceans.
One of the big ones is tracking pollution. We have a lot of problem with non-point source pollution, which is things like fertilizer and pesticides running off of cropland, animal waste out of animal feedlots, toxic cocktails of hydrocarbons that run off our roads every time we have a rainstorm, just all kinds of things that are running off the land and having a very profound effect on coastal ecosystems. And so I felt like what we really want to do here is make pollution visible. And so we're actually using bioluminescence to do that. We use bacterial bioluminescence. The reason the bacteria glow all the time is that the bioluminescence is linked to the respiratory chain. So basically the breathing of the bacteria, and any pollutant that interferes with that dims the light. So the bioluminescent bacteria are sort of akin to a canary in a coal mine. You know, miners used to take a canary down with them before they had sensors that could detect the poisonous gases that they had to be concerned about. They knew when the canary stopped singing or keeled over that they better get out of there very quickly. And that's what's known as a broad-spectrum bioassay. You're not measuring for a specific pollutant, but a whole range of them. And that's what the bacteria do for us. So we take sediment samples. When you're talking about water pollution, most of the water pollution actually resides in the sediments. So we take sediments and then test the bacteria against these sediments and figure out where the toxins are accumulating in the environment. And then we've also developed a water quality monitoring system called a Kilroy, because we hope these guys are going to be everywhere, that allows us to track the pollutant back to its source. My dream is to get a pollution layer onto Google Earth. So that people can see the pollutants in their own backyards and in their favorite waterways, and then work together to figure out what we can do to solve these problems.
It was such a joy speaking to Edie. She was so enthusiastic about, she's just so obviously obsessed and enthused by bioluminescence in the deep sea, and I'm completely jealous she spent so much time down in the deep sea. Something else she mentioned, which was pretty awesome, is the fact that bioluminescence is all the way through the top to the very depths of the ocean. And in fact, when people for the one time only so far went to the bottom of the Marianas Trench, the deepest part of the ocean, they turned the lights on of the submarine and there was a fish with eyes, and the only reason it could possibly have eyes is because there's bioluminescence down there. So, and she was saying how now it's the commercial it's amongst these private individuals, people like James Cameron and Richard Branson, to get into the deep and build submersibles and get down there. And Edie wants to know what they see when they get there. Is it full of light? And we think the answer has to be yes. That was Edie Widder, founder of the Ocean Research and Conservation Association in Florida, introducing the firework makers of the oceans and how she's putting bioluminescence to work in helping to safeguard the oceans. Well, you can see some fantastic pictures of the extraordinary animals that Edie works with on our website, as well as links to find out more about her work beneath the waves. That's all at thenakedscientist.com/oceans.
Are there really plenty more fish in the sea? Find out with Naked Oceans on the web at nakedscientist.com/oceans.